Hey everyone, welcome back to Sharp Elbows. This is Devil Radio with Kristen Bry, Francesca Hong, and myself. Before the break, I made a very, I think, surprise statement, if you all saw my co-host's face when I said that, but bridging kind of the transition between Bucks and politics, I think we have to talk about the Senate race at some point. And I'm going to be super annoyed if the Bucks win and then someone uses that on their campaign. But I think it's a very, very crowded race. I'm wondering what you two think about it. Fran looks like she wants to run right now. But the people deserve to know, right?
Run away. I just need to clarify.
I was going
to
say run.
Looks like she wants to run away right now.
Oh, run away. Oh, she, no, absolutely not. Kristen, how are you feeling about the Senate race?
I kind of told myself that I'm not going to do, at least for like as goes Wisconsin stuff, like I'm going to wait till next year. Like we're through the budget stuff. I had this conversation earlier this week of like, feeling kind of exhausted on talking about politics, and especially now that the budget's done, it's just been fun to kind of talk about the Bucks and know that like we're about to ramp up for next year between the governor race and a Senate race, and this is going to consume our lives just like it did in 2020 all over again. It's going to be so important in Wisconsin. Like it's too, not only just for the Senate, but it's like the governor race is, I mean, our statewide elections, they're always 1%, right? Like it's always so close. And so with the Senate specifically, like I don't think I know enough about any of them to be like that's my person. But I also know enough that I don't I'm not like, all right, here we go. Like even with the speculation this week of like Mandela running. And like, I love Mandela, but like, I think that's also a, you know, it's like, and this is where it always comes in when like, when the primaries get so crowded. And this is the same thing we saw with the presidential primary was like, do you back the person you believe them in the most, or do you back the person you think can win? And like, we're back there again, right? And we don't even know if Ron Johnson's running again. So we don't even know, are we voting for the person who can beat Ron Johnson? Are we voting for the person who could potentially beat Mike Gallagher if he runs instead of Ron Johnson? Or like, you know, so it's like that whole strategy game that I hate about politics of like, instead of just the best person, it's like the who can win. So I don't know. I mean, we have a year and a half that we're going to get to talk about this, but it, like right now, the fact that there was like two more people this week that I've never heard of before. It's like Adam Murphy and some other guy.
I think so.
Is it though? Like once those two and Mandela announce, like, is that the cap, or you think like we still got more?
I think we still got more. I know for a fact that I think what Kristen mentioning is that if there was a tweet that went out that Daniel Bice of the Sentinel tweeted on, that was like a, you know, please donate to Mandela Barnes. And I believe you have 15 days after you start collecting donations to announce your campaign. So I'm hoping that there are more candidates. This is one of the most, you know, pivotal elections of our lifetime, right? Ron Johnson, I think, is agreed upon, even across the aisle, that he is just a terrible, terrible person, especially a terrible fit for the state specifically. But I think we have a Democratic primary, and you know, democracy works in a way, at least this time, where we can really make this the political event that it is, and criticize and ask for the best of each candidate, because whoever is the Dem nominee is the one that we have to go hard for, right? And so I know a lot of people are anxious kind of about it, and it doesn't, I mean, I think aside from one candidate, the Dr. Bettino, most of the other candidates do not have platform points on their website. So I'm trying to find kind of stances on issues that we all care about, and I can't find them. And maybe it is, you know, a little bit early. It is a year. We've had such a huge, you know, season of elections in the past, but I've been waiting for months to see that. And so even that kind of, the way campaigns are being run, the way information is accessible, kind of tells me who's targeting who. And in a race like this, you need a candidate that is going to talk about, you know, issues that affect multiple types of people that appealed to different candidates in terms of different voters in terms of diversity. So for me, the field is clearing up in terms of who I'm eventually going to endorse, because I am going to endorse. I don't know if Fran is, but it's a tough one, because the most viable is not always the best, right? In any election. But I think a really, really competitive primary helps us get hopefully the best candidate.
Ron Johnson is wrong for this state. I don't even know if he's right for anything, including his own family. I believe his brother and him have quite a contentious relationship. So the right candidate, the best candidate, will be the candidate to beat Ron Johnson. And I think it's, you know, before we speak on endorsements, it's important that as representatives of Dane County, and Nada and I are absolutely representatives of Dane County's and the very diverse communities that encompass it, it is on each and every candidate to work for their vote. And I think it's same for Milwaukee County as well. And, you know, I will not be endorsing in the Senate primary. And the reason for that is that I represent the most engaged, some of the most knowledgeable, some of the most diverse communities in this state. And they are savvy and they deserve to be fought for. And I don't want my voice to influence the fact that we should have every single candidate that wants their vote to fight to earn it. So as Nada quoted before, I believe, if it's gotta be the Hunger Games, let it be the Hunger Games. But the candidate will be the one to beat Ron Johnson, because he is wrong in every single way to represent this state in any way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have a big enough platform where I know, you know, pushing each individual candidate specifically around race is going to be something that will help their campaign be better. Maybe that's a self-centered way to think of it, but I truly think that the candidate that embraces racial equity and truly talks about those issues is going to be a candidate that serves everyone, right? The question that I'm looking for is, in the most segregated state in the country, that's Wisconsin, what are your plans in the Senate to better the lives of every single person? And I've seen enough of politics where, you know, politicians speak about equity and diversity, and then, you know, when they get in office, the kind of institutional white supremacy stops them from doing a lot of those even small policy decisions. So I'm going to be looking for someone, you know, who's really strong on you know, voter laws and really making sure that our democracy celebrates everyone, and on the filibuster. So it's going to be exciting. You know, we represent a very young district, and I think showing them that they belong in this conversation, that their voice and their opinions matter, that they can question people, is so integral in retaining them as voters, right? A lot of people don't come out to vote because they don't feel like it's something that they can participate in. And so anyway, we can model that it is absolutely their discussion as well, I think is an important way to make sure that we have enough turnout to beat Ron Johnson.
Absolutely. But actually, I saw you, what you said the other day, you're like, you do not want a Clefish governorship.
Oh, yeah. I was like, also, by the way, so no one wants
to think, do we have speculations on, we know who the candidate will be for the other very big race next year. Obviously, I mean, that's always, I think, like a civic engagement in what will be a midterm year. I think, you know, we had record turnout in 2020 in Wisconsin, which was incredible on both sides. And how do we keep that enthusiasm going in a year that there's not a presidential election? And I always come back to like helping to people grasp what is a person's responsibility when they're in the Senate versus voting for governor versus voting for assembly versus voting for state senator. And it's like, as a country, we're not very good at teaching civics anymore and wrapping your head around. And I think that's part of what I get so upset about the two-party system is you get entrenched in I'm a Republican or I'm a Democrat. And like, you don't actually know what these different positions do, and you just vote down the ticket with what your identity is. And so I think that for me in the next coming year is like what's so important is like, how do we really continue to teach people of like what the responsibilities are for these different roles and how it actually impacts your life. Because governors really, really impacts our life. Yeah. U.S. Senator, yeah. Right? And so I think seen as the Republican field, as that gets potentially very crowded, I think it'll be interesting to see from the other side of like, how are they picking? Who do they think can beat Evers? Because that's obviously in every, if you just look at this budget, it's like, it's not about Wisconsin, it's about beating him. Mm-hmm. And so I think, I don't know if you, either of you have strong thoughts on the other important race that will happen next year. As it's
I do. And I think after the break, we can transition into the budget, you know, how Evers is going to win. But a primary, a really competitive Senate primary will get new voters registered who will vote in the gubernatorial. And I think that is one of the most important tactics we have. You're listening to Sharp Elbows on Devil Radio. We'll be right back.